Welcome to the Becoming Eva podcast, where we discuss real life issues from a woman's perspective.
Becoming Eva seeks to break the silence within the female community while fostering authenticity, transparency, and healing.
We're your hosts, LaToya Moore
and Maya Dawson.
Let's get started. Good morning.
Hi,
Saturday people. Happy Saturday.
Hey, I love it. What a way to start Saturday with you two. How exciting is that?
Oh,
very blessed.
It, y'all are in for a treat this morning. We got some good stuff. Okay, so first off, you know, I'll just give a recap on the month that we're in. We're celebrating Women's History Month, so we are highlighting women all month. You know, we are some fierce creatures. So, you know, God made us that way, and we gotta put them on display. We gotta put women on display this month. So, last week we talked about women in media. Last week we talked about women in media, and then this week we're going to be talking about women who rise. Okay, if you saw our post, then you know you cannot keep a good woman down. So we're going to talk about that, the art of rising. Okay, and we've got some special guests with us this morning. So Toya, you want to give some introductions?
Yes. So I'm so excited. I have been talking to Mrs. Nova Cope all week long, and I have learned so much information about her. She is a life coach. She trains leaders. She believes in always delivering your best self, and she's passionate about helping people improve their personal situations, whether it's through spiritual growth, health, career, financial, and relationships. She is a domestic violence awareness advocate, and she's also a survivor herself. She was crowned Mrs. Georgia 2016 and Mrs. International 2017. She was the first Mrs. International to win $12,000 in cash and give it all away to charity. We are so excited to have Mrs. Nova Cope join us today on Becoming Eva.
Woo! I love it. Did I say y'all were in for a treat? I'm telling you, it's the truth, okay? So hang on and tell your friends if you haven't, tell them to jump on, okay? Now, of course, before we dive into talking about women who rise, we got to talk a little bit about what's trending, okay? Current events have been off the chain this week. So I just want to talk about two stories, okay? The first one is Justice for Juicy, or Jussie, I should say. But I would say Juicy Smollett just because of Dave Chappelle. But anyways, all that to say, Empire actor or former Empire actor, Jussie Smollett, he actually was convicted in Chicago. I think it was like a class 4 felony, basically, for just being untruthful about a situation that happened to him in Chicago a few years ago. This has definitely been on and off and on in the news for a while, but long story short, he was found guilty. He had to pay a fine of over $150,000 and sentenced to 150 days in jail. So he, you know, during the sentencing, definitely disagreed with the judge and was fearful and concerned about his mental health, his physical health, his safety, all of that. So his family, you know, they got on the horn. They were asking people to call and, you know, protest and just ask that he be released. He actually was released this week. And pending that his appeal goes through. So I just kind of wanted to ask, because there's a lot of conversation on this. You think he's getting special treatment because he's a star, because of the situation at hand? You know, some people think he was mistreated to begin with because he's a young Black man. Like, what are you all's thoughts on the situation? Do you think it's fair or not fair?
I have many thoughts about this situation. First, I think sometimes celebrities think they won't get the same type of consequence or discipline as someone else just because of who they are. I do like the fact that the justice system, even though it's kind of a little bit of a slap on the wrist, I still think they're making an example out of him, that you cannot make false claims and think you're not going to have some type of punishment associated with whatever you do. So even though it's a slap on the wrist, I'm pretty sure he's learned his lesson. He probably will never do that again.
Yes, I agree with you 100%. And there should be always a consequence for anyone that does anything that's dishonest or, you know, that's causing a city to go in disruption or create some, you know, whether it's small or big to what you think a consequence should be. I think it taught us all a lesson not to do that, regardless. Fact. All of us. Fact. You learn from other people's mistakes, I hope.
Yeah. Yeah. And yes, that's the prayer, that he has learned his lesson in the midst of all of this. You know, I'm still unclear on what did or what didn't happen, but, you know, I'm a firm believer that the truth always rises to the surface. So I'm praying that continues to happen and that justice is served regardless. You know, I'm also praying for his mental and physical safety, because if there was any type of untruth going on, a manipulation going on, there's a deeper root there that needs to be addressed. So I'm praying that gets addressed in him personally as well. So, but yeah, a lot of back and forth with him in the news this week. So any other thoughts before we move on to our second trending topic?
Love these All topics. Right.
Music icon Madonna. She has released new music, and get this, y'all, she is 63 years old. Woo! When I tell you, though, if you haven't, Google these pictures, Google her video. This girl looks phenomenal. Like, she was up out there looking like her daughter, one of her daughters. I was like, that's Madonna? Like, what in the world? Can I look like that at 63? Can I look like that now? Please. So what are your thoughts? Because some people are saying, you know, some people are giving her shouts out, and other people are like, you know, is 63 too old to be making pop music? Because she's not, you know, she's not out here making some smooth jazz, soft music. Like, she out here making some mainstream pop music. So what are you all's thoughts on that?
I love it. Living her best life. I want to be like that when I'm 63, having my body right and tight out there still, going after my dreams. You're never too old to achieve your dreams. So I think it's actually a wonderful thing. It's like a role model, something to look up to.
Absolutely.
I agree with you 100%. It's all mindset. Who creates the rules, right? Who creates the rules? When I see some of the politicians that are 70, 80, I'm like, wow, the lay people think we got to retire at 65 and that's it. Nah, it's change your story. Live your life. You have one life to live. If you want to do it, do it. Challenge yourself, challenge your thinking. And I do want to be tight and right like her too.
Amen. I love it. And if y'all have not caught it, the theme, okay, the theme for today's show is all in the backdrop of Miss Cope right here. It says new mindset, new results. So that's what we're going to be talking about all day. So without further ado, we're going to dive into the topic at hand as far as women who rise.
Yes, Nova, can you begin by telling our Becoming Eva audience about your childhood? I know you shared with me this week about it. Can you share with the audience about your childhood, what type of family you were raised in?
Yeah, I do want to just make one clarification to the intro, and I'll tell you why. I was Miss Universe 2019 Transcontinental. And the reason why I joined, and thank goodness I won, was because their focus is all on the pledge campaign, domestic violence. So this will help you with my story of why I do pageantry as well. It's making awareness for domestic violence. But my childhood was very interesting and painful. So my father was basically, when he was growing up, he ended up in a boys' home for a little while. He left the boys' home to go to the Navy. He was stationed in Morocco, met my beautiful mother, Odette, and brought her to the United States. The one thing my mother didn't know is my father was broken, and his brokenness created the abuse for her and my siblings. And my father, we didn't know, you know, we still try to figure it out today. We didn't know if he was bipolar because some of his behaviors were outlandish, whether it was the way he beat us or how he wanted to get our attention. It wasn't normal. And we didn't know that. Unfortunately, it came to a head. My father killed himself when I was 14 years old. And that was the brokenness. And I always describe myself at that point in my life as numb, and I was a walking dead because you don't know how to process, heal. I mean, it was incredibly traumatic and a lot of PTSD because he made me kill animals. I save animals today. You know, he raged. I used to rage. I also tried to kill myself at 17 by slitting my wrist. Just to get attention, but it was a lot of processing as a young person. So through my journey, I didn't want to grow up and continue that behavior. I had to find a way to heal. And so the healing process has taken 25 years. And you learn a lot of lessons, but you understand people more. You have mercy, grace. And you want to seek to understand their story, because as I told you earlier, we all have a story. And the key is, what do you do with your story? Do you let it engulf you your whole life and sabotage you and become a victim? Or do you become a victor and take that story and help others? Hence the pageantry. It gave me the platform to help others. And I do it on my own time. Or with a crown, it's just been my nature for my entire life, serving others.
Wow. So you shared a little bit with us about how your life changed after your father passed away. You tried to take your life for attention at the age of, you said, 17. Yeah. How did your perspective on men based on your father, how did that change? How did your perspective on men change?
You know, that was a question when you asked me, I still am pondering in my brain, how did my perspective change? What I do know is fathers play a big role on daughters' lives, a big role on how they interact. I was a runner. If you hurt me, I ran. I didn't know how to process. I'm gonna run before you hurt me. So hold on, that makes me cry.
That's okay. That's okay. Thank you for taking the time.
It plays a big role. It does. And when I met my husband, and you know, it's not my first husband. he learned how to understand me and love me unconditional. And that's why it's important to pick the right man and not be in a hurry, not think you need a man to make you whole. Is you got to wait on God's timing. And if you don't, and you do things that are not in the process of doing the right things, you end up having a dysfunctional relationship. And it took me a long time to understand the role of a man, to honor the man, and to understand what his place is in the family. And girl, I used to be the man where I took control and I was strong. And you got to learn there is the natural, and that's survival. And then there's the spiritual, which what God intends the man to be in the family. So it took a long time. But that question, I got to tell you, I haven't heard that. You know, I don't even think I ever heard that where it hit me, because that was something I never addressed until today. And that's where you got me to choke up, because the man is very important, but a good man, a healthy man, and a spiritual man.
Can I ask real quick? Just sparked something while you were sharing. Like, literally, for you to experience the trauma that you did growing up, I'm not certain if you was that before or after you accepted Christ, because most people, it would cause them, like you were saying, you're a runner, would cause you to run from Christ, to run from Jesus. Like, you know, you allowed this to happen, how could you, you know? But for you to be just a devout woman of faith right now, like, what was that journey like? Did it happen, you know, when did you come to accept Christ, and how did you come to trust Christ in the midst of everything you experienced?
And I love that question. So we all heard about the mustard seed, right? The mustard seed, how important people are in our lives. Well, my mother is Jewish and they're Israeli. My father's mother is Christian and lived on a farm in Michigan. Well, the parents would always send us to Michigan. What people didn't, my mother didn't know, my grandmother's taking us to Christian camp. So we had devotions. It was all Jesus. She was 100% a warrior and a woman of faith. Amen. Well, then we would leave. And then we'd go into our other life. So the seed was planted. And, you know, when I was with her, you know, we'd pick out the bread box, read the devotion, pray before we go to bed. And she showcased what right looks like in grace and mercy. And then I would go home to my chaos. So to answer your question, it was the seed planted. God always knew who I was going to be, the daughter of the king. I accepted Jesus when I was young, but if you don't renew your mind and feed it every day and put guardrails up, you go back into the natural. So I went in the natural for many, many years. But there was a point in time when you said, I had enough. And, you know, a quick story. I know this is digressing, but I was in El Salvador as in going in to take my girls, because I was a Sunday school teacher. And I ended up getting sepsis from an illness prior, but I couldn't breathe and I had a 50-50 chance to live. I was hospitalized for 13 days, but this is what I know. Remember the seed I told you about? The relationship with Jesus? Well, it was me and Jesus in that hospital room in a third world country. And I said, Father, you said through your stripes, I will be healed. And that's all I meditated on. I never let fear get me. All the things that I've learned throughout my life from my grandmother, through being a Sunday school teacher, it builds. So when the storms come, you tap into that and you become a warrior. And I really believe faith and knowing my relationship saved my life. I take it to the bank all the way. So it's a journey, but it was the mustard seed from my grandma. Does that make sense?
Yes.
And so yes. I know it's real, you know, and so I always tell people, Father, every morning I renew my mind. Every morning I put the armor on, because I still go in the natural, but it depends on how much you feed yourself on the spiritual. That's going to bring those guardrails up and help you to react in love instead of in the natural. So it's a journey. It's a journey. It is a journey.
So many, many women and men either grow up without fathers, they're fatherless, essentially, in the natural. You were talking about how you learned or discovered what a good man was and what a man's role is in the family. Yes. Could you tell the audience a little bit more about how you were able to either see that demonstrated, like in maybe another relationship or like another marriage? How did you learn to really understand and know what a good, healthy relationship even looks like.
It's interesting that you say that, because how we are brought up is usually what our focus areas. You know, that's what we focus on. That's all we know, right? So to your point, how did I break out of that? Is you really have to find couples that demonstrate what love is, commitment, and learn from them. And I go to the preachers, the good preachers, because, you know, we got a little bit of everybody. And I watch them and some of the rules that they state. It's like Billy Graham. There are some things that he put as guardrails in his life, not, you know, going with a woman in the car by himself, not, you know, you got to just put some guardrails up. And so I listen and I take best practices from good men, whether it is people that I have in my circle. I'm always watching how they treat their woman, and I take all the best practices, and I'm grateful. And I tell my husband, I am so grateful for him. Amen. And the way he takes care of me in my spirit, gentle, understanding. He understands my background, loves me unconditional. It's not about, you know, the surface. It's all about, he told me he fell in love with who I am. And when I do display a little bit of triggers or PTSD or, you know, it's rare, but when I do, he knows how to handle me and loves me unconditional and doesn't react or doesn't run. So looking at, there's a lot of role models out there. You just got to seek to find, and you got to be intentional looking, because whatever you focus on is real. And if you don't focus on the goodness and look at the best practices of whatever, whether it's physical, mental, spiritual, or financial, you will stay in your own lenses, and you got to take the scales off. Because what I learned very backwards from what normal people I thought went to college, had two parents, they had money. You know, we were completely opposite. And so I had to learn the hard way. But I'm grateful for that, because I use it as a tool to help others.
Wow. Do you mind giving the Becoming Even fans some practical steps on the steps that you took to really heal and recover from all of those different childhood experiences? Because we know that you had to take some practical steps to fully heal and recover. What kind of advice could you give to someone that is possibly still struggling with some of those PTSD triggers and moments from things that happened in their childhood?
So you said I was a life coach, and I do a lot of that. And you mentioned my bio, but the one thing that a lady told me at church, Nova, I know you think you're good in what you learn and how you're certified. The only way you can change is through Jesus. You think you can change people, but you really got to start with the spiritual aspect, and you got to learn to forgive. You got to forgive, and you got to understand my father. I don't know, because back then, you don't know if it's what it was. We never had medication. You don't know what caused it. So you got to forgive him. And that took me a long time. Forgiveness is key in working on your spiritual. I believe that's the baseline to everything. If you do not unshackle yourself and you keep blaming other people for who you are, you're giving them too much power. So spiritual was one thing. From a mental perspective, I listened to Tom Hopkins, Zig Ziglar, Tony Robbins. I immersed in a lot of motivational speakers. And I started changing my thinking, learning how to write goals, learning how to really focus, because no one taught me to that point of change. And then renewing your mind every day. Every morning I wake up, I read a devotional. I sent them out. My friend sends me a devotional on Facebook. I copy and paste and send it out to my friends. But I also listen to preachers. You got to put your guardrails on. The enemy knows your weakness and knows your areas of where he's going to tap. Then I look at areas of its responsibility, your brand, right? So we talked about spiritual forgiveness and getting all that right, getting aligned to the Father, mental, learning from people that have skill sets, even counselors. Counselors, you can't think you can do it by yourself. You don't have enough of the knowledge. You got to keep working on it because you got to know who you are and you got to be authentic. We talked about mental, financial. Financial stress, it's hard to really focus on financial. If you're having stress and you're not being a good steward of your money, because everybody wants to be a baller. Everybody wants to, you know, have the best of the best of the best. It's a trap. Live simple, pay your bills off, do what you got to do and build your financial, because in the Bible, it says you want to leave an inheritance. That's my biggest goal, is to take care of my children. That's why I work 12 hours a day for my children, not for stuff. And then physical health and wellness. If you are not healthy, listen, if you're not healthy and you sabotage yourself and don't take what it, don't eat right, don't exercise. And I'm not talking about, you don't have to be a superwoman. Walk every day for 20 minutes, stretch. You've got to take care of yourself, because without physical, think about it. Have you guys ever been able to go to work when you were super sick? Was it easy to pray? And if you were super sick and you were like thrown up, you're thinking about health. Don't let that be your later when it happens to you. Think of four key areas: physical health and wellness. Take care of yourself. You're a vessel. Take care of it. You have one body. Take care of it. Spiritual, get over what nobody's perfect. People all live their life through their journeys. Learn how to forgive. And trust me, it's hard. When I get hurt, it's hard because I'm very loyal, but that's something I'm working on, my spiritual growth. Mental, continue to learn, change your state, learn from other people, and then financial. Those are my four levers that I pull in my life. If one gets off balance, it's really hard to propel and go to the next level, because all of it's connected to mindset. And if your mind's not right, then nothing's right. Because we can look at the glass half empty or half full. And I am just trained to be half full and be a problem solver, you know, try to understand people and let them be authentic. Let them be themselves. Stop giving rules. Everybody wants rules, rules, rules. But that's how I live, and that's been my saving grace, and that's what I've been doing for the last 30 years, is putting up guardrails and understanding who I am, my strengths, my weaknesses. And I know this, I'm reading a book called Standout 2.0. I want to give Missy Donaldson a shout out. She told me about it. It's assess your strengths and find your edge at work. You got to continue to grow. You got to continue. Everything's continue, a continuum, and it doesn't stop. And my one word for this year is evolve. Those four key areas, I still got to evolve in. I'm not there yet.
Woo! Wow. So much wisdom.
Yes.
It's learning from the rocky life. Not many.
So much to unpack.
Sorry. Yes. But I do it. I live it. And anyone that knows me knows that is my, I'm laser focused and I live intentionally.
Wow.
I love it. Y'all, she dropping gems. I hope you're taking notes. She is dropping some gems. Oh, I love it. I love it. And such a balanced approach, like the fact that you hone in on four specific areas. And I love the phrase live simply, like live. Live simply. Don't get caught up in all the extravagance and, you know, trying to do this and do that. I mean, yes, there are moments for that, I'm sure. But at the same time, at the core, we need to live simply and do that well, first and foremost. So I love that. I love it.
And balance. Balance. Mm-hmm. Why does everything have to be extreme in one area and you forget the other area?
Yes.
And be very careful. Here's what I'll tell y'all, what I've learned. when I feed myself on the natural, a lot of, you know, because Netflix, a lot of streaming, be careful where you spend a lot of your time, because that's what you're growing. Whatever you focus on, I always believe there's a good dog and a bad dog next to you. You keep feeding that bad dog, he's going to bite you. You feed the good dog. Yeah, I look at that as a metaphor. What am I feeding the most this week? And live in the present. So many people, and I used to be that person, worry about tomorrow. Do your best today. Be present. Make a friend. Do something outside of yourself. Because, you know, a lot of things, there's a lot of self today in the world. Just go look on social media. If I see one more person, click, 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 click themselves. I'm like, come on, you guys. I know it's cute and fun, but we've got to take that energy and be a servant leader and make our communities better, our families better, our friends better. And what has helped me heal the most is, instead of looking at myself of what I went through, I look at how I can help you and you and other people. And it gives me joy. I love watching other people excel. And I am their biggest cheerleader. And I am very proud of you two for what you're doing to have fun. Give some people some opportunities to grow and live their best life. I love it.
Oh, wow. I love it. You've done a great job of segueing into leading the way, because literally I was just going to ask you, like, how, like, literally you've taken a very painful, traumatic part of your life and used it to fuel you, not only for your own personal healing and health and wealth and growth, but also to impact others. So can you talk about how you literally took something very painful and turned it into a passion, even into purpose in, you know, in a certain aspect?
You know, excuse me. You know what's so crazy? I remember when I was a single mother and I saw a guy sit on the road. I remember this. He had no legs and he had a food. I need food. I had only $5. I was broke. I went to Dairy Queen right across the street. I bought the $4.90, whatever it was, I spent my $5 and gave him food. And he said, God bless you. Hold on. And that moment of really being able to help others really resonated with me, because what I didn't tell you, the last time I walked with my father, because we didn't have gas, to the grocery store, we didn't have any money for gas. We walked. We bought one cubic steak. I don't know if anybody eats that anymore. One potato. And he was a cook in the Navy. He made dinner. And I remember the struggle, what happens when people don't have the resources. To them, especially a man, it breaks your spirit that you can't provide. And I think that was another thing, that my father couldn't get a job after he retired from the Navy. And I think a lot of things he did, photography, little odds and ends, you know, the people in the, when you go park your cars, they take your ticket. That was my dad. Or at Publix when they cut meat, that was my dad. And I think that what really resonated with me on people's struggle. And so what your question is, from that turning point, whatever I can do, and I believe in nonprofits, because I'm only one person and I'm not Oprah Winfrey. So I can't, and I give and give and give, but I give with my means. But in the nonprofit sector, if everybody donates and finds a cause, the pledge campaign, and helps them build momentum, they can do more than Nova can do. Because, you know, I'm just a regular person. But I think servant leader, God blesses you. I believe this in my soul. And it's true. What you sow is what you reap. So that $5 I gave 30 years ago, I believe that God has blessed me, because I've continued to do that. If you follow me, help homeless, I put a homeless lady in my house, let her live with me. I try to skill them up to be able to take care of themselves. That's the goal. Take care of yourself, because, you know, you spend the money I give you and then someone else is going to have to give you. You've got to skill up. But I believe and my family's a lot like that too, thank God, even my children. I believe that's a blessing. You do, you got to be careful who you walk away from. Now, some people are users, but that's not my problem. You will block your blessings if you're scamming people. You will block your blessings if you're not authentic. You will block your blessings if what you're saying behind closed doors is different than what you're saying in front of people. You block your blessings. And I want blessings. I need it because I got a lot to do in the community, a lot to serve, and I got a people to love. I got a lot of people to love. But that's it's been a passion, and I've been doing it my whole life.
Wow, that's amazing. And we touched on life. Say that last part. What'd you say?
My whole adult life. You know, well, 18 and up. You know, that's when you're
that's you can
do it. I used to take your apple in second grade and eat it. So.
You were the opposite before then, huh?
I was. Yes, I was.
That's okay. That's okay. I was going to share or ask, you shared a lot about just different areas in which you serve. You know, we talked about you serving as a life coach. You know, you've been in pageantry. You're a VP. You're working, you know, 12 hours a day. Can you share more specifically about some of the different hats that you wear? You're a board member. Like, can you share a little bit about just those different areas in which you serve?
Yes, it's all about people. That is the center of what I do. So if you think about it, let's break it down. I'm an AVP at DirecTV, which in my role, we develop curriculum, we deliver curriculum, and we skill you up. Whether you're coming new to our company and you need a job and we're going to help you grow and get the skills you need, or if you're a leader, which we all think everyone's a leader in our company, we focus on competencies, right? Growing you as a human being, making you the best you can be. So if you think about everything I do, it centers around people. Pageantry, I love my sister queens because a lot of the older women that come in are not coming in for this. Now they're motivated physical health and wellness to be their best, but they're coming in because they have a passion like I do, whether it's suicide prevention, whatever their cause is, they are passionate and I respect them. I love those women. So I get friends and then I get to go out in the communities because people love crowns and serve, whether it's at the cook, you know, I went to Ireland and I went on Meals on Wheels and served meals. I went to Japan. I went, traveled domestically. I'm in the soup kitchens. It's all around people. So if you look at my life, life doesn't feel like work. I get energy and passion when I know if I'm helping someone to achieve their goals, it doesn't feel like work. So everything is a golden thread, but the biggest thing is people. And that's everything I do is all about you, not me, you. And it gives me energy. I'm happy. I'm like all fired up. And, you know, I had a morning that, you know, I thought the enemy was coming for me. And we overcame it and we ended up, I've been centered around people because I told you both, if I can help one person, whether they're listening live or coming to the recording, one person to go, wow, I got to take the scales off my eyes. I really got to focus on healing and forgiving so I can stop blocking my blessings. Because listen, every day is a new day. You can re-engineer yourself to be whatever you want, whether it's going to school, whether it's doing your gift. I have a favorite, one of my favorite girlfriends, Tammy, I hope you're on. She is, well, I was telling you about, she's a great cook. She's a great designer. Everything about her is God's gift to talent. And I'm like, use it. Use it. It's a new day. Use it. And it's fun watching people use their talents. So amen. It's all about people.
I love it. You're even helping me just sitting here talking to you and listening to some of the things that you're saying about being a servant leader. And I'm just thinking about in more ways that I can serve others and focus more about people, because sometimes we can kind of live our lives in a bubble and focus on ourselves and on our families and on our, you know, our own children and our own needs. And sometimes we forget to think about others. So, wow, you're just opening up my eyes into how I can even pour into other people more and give more.
Make it a family affair. Teach your kids while they're young to serve, to share, to give. And you will have, they will see the blessings, because there's a lot of depression in children, because there's a lot of what I see. They're looking at other people's lives and the people aren't showing the reality, what's behind the mask. So they're feeling that they're not adequate. You got to get them to serve, get them away from the social media and all the TikTok. You know, don't let them spend so much time. Get out in the community with them and they will be blessed, and it changes the wiring. When it's all about us, it is hard to change your wiring, because what we're doing is generation after generation after generation following in the footsteps of what our fathers and mothers have done and just getting a little better. If you really want to take it to the next level, got to serve. Think about our communities. If we all served just something. But I'm glad that motivated you, because that motivated me, that you're motivated. And I said one person, so I succeeded today. I love you.
I love it. Amen. Amen. I want to ask, I know you talked earlier about pageantry and using that platform. How did you get into that world? Like, how were you introduced to it? What made you think, hey, I can use this, you know, to help others?
Okay, so just so you know, when I was in high school, I won Miss Sandwood. But that wasn't enough for me to go, oh, I want to be in pageants. That was just an activity, checkbox, move on. Fast forward, I'm 57, I'll be 57 years old. In 2014, my friend Bobby Rawls, he's on Facebook, told me I should be Miss America. You need to go and compete. And I'm thinking, are you crazy? I walk like a boy. I have a deep voice. No, I don't smoke. I have a deep voice. My posture is terrible. No, but he kept on and on, drove me crazy. At the same time, I think always social media is listening. I get a request to compete. I'm like, funny story. I take the request, Pam Bolter, whoop, whoop, great director. I end up competing the first time for Miss Georgia. I ended up getting fourth runner up. But the funny part about it, I walk in with one pair of earrings, one shoe, pair of shoes, my bathing suit that I have to wear, and a dress, and, you know, whatever my interview suit is. I looked at the women and they were like, bomb, diddy, bomb, dump, bomb. They had everything. And so I learned by watching other women, oh, I did it all wrong. Came back, competed, and then won. But what made me do it was a couple reasons. First, it was the challenge, of course, and then the servanthood. Once you feel the women and you love them, it's like, oh my gosh, this is great. We brought in collectively with a lot of nonprofits, $2.4 million collectively through my reign, which was exciting to help causes. But the most important part, remember at 14, I was a tomboy. I climbed trees, beat up boys, was learned from the violent family. So I took out the little, I didn't have prissy. I wasn't a girly girl, and I got my girly girl back. I actually changed my living room to have fluffy pillows. I would have never done that without these girls. So it's been twofold, a personal growth for me. I missed a childhood through my trauma, and I wanted to see what it feels like to be a girl, to, you know, have all the little things that girls do, because I'm really boring. And I learned a lot from them. And then it catapulted when I started, I love my directors, to start working in the community and to see more and more what we really can do collectively. It was the best. It helped me grow. Now I can walk now. It took me to get Sabrina Pinion to help me walk, because I couldn't flow like those girls. I was like chomp, 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 chomp. But I kept at it. Never give up, ladies. We talked about Madonna. And, you know, I remember one guy on Facebook said to me, don't you, he did, he called me out, don't you think you're too old to do pageants? And I said, if I only thought about myself, yes. But because what we do for the community, the what this brings to me personally, helps me with my personal growth, humbleness. And I got to tell you one thing, this is for the ladies out there that are my age, I got to say this. In the pageant for Miss Universe Transcontinental, which I won in 2019, the girls came from all over the world. They were absolutely in their 20s, 25, 30s, 40s. Girl, they were having hard legs, hard, beautiful, shiny hair. I think I wore a weave that day to have a little longer hair and thickness. Yes, I did. But one thing I learned, and I want you guys to press upon yourself. At first, I got a little nervous. But in my spirit, it said, do not look to the right, do not look to the left, run your own journey. So every competition that came up when I had to present, I focused at the present moment. And apparently, you know, after it was all over, the judges said I nailed it, all the whole thing. But what I want to press upon women, because remember, in the natural, we're getting older. Don't focus on that. Focus on being your best and don't compare and contrast. Run your own race and learn about yourself through the race. And I always tell women, when you look to the right and left and you get in your mind that, oh my gosh, these girls are, you know, healthy hair, long hair, you hurt yourself because you can't compare and contrast in life, whether it's in anything. Run your race. Know who you are, focus on the four key things, and remember you are the daughter of the king.
Amen.
That simple.
Amen. Wow. Preaching. Love it. Love it. Woo. All right. Well, I'm sure people are asking, do you have a mentor or mentors? Do you have mentees? Like, are there people that you have intentionally connected with to either learn from or to help, you know, grow and learn themselves?
Absolutely. I learn every day from each one of you. You've just got to have a mindset of humility and grace. So I talk to my friend Tammy Grubb every morning. Practically, we talk spiritual. We talk about the spiritual growth. We send each other Bible verses. She tells me what she learns from her. So that's your circle. Get the right circle of right women, right thinking, right goals. And then in the bigger realm, you know, I'll read a book, I'll do some studying, and I look at people that are doing it. And I watch the preachers on my favorite preachers to take care of my spiritual. For my mental, you always got to grow your skill sets at work. You never stay plateau and you continue to grow. So at 42, I got my undergrad. In my 50s, I got my master's degree. And I got to tell you, I was a terrible student because when I was 14, I just showed up to school dead. Everybody thought I was alive because I was friendly, but they didn't know I was just happy to see them. And so I didn't get my degree. And it always bothered me. And so you got to continue refining. It's never too late. I did pageants in my late years, not like Madonna 63, but you never know. I know I'm retired from pageantry, but I got my degree in skill sets. I owned and operated small businesses. Just keep doing, keep growing, keep learning from people and find your passion. You can't be like anybody else. I can't cook or design like other people. I can't sing. You know, I probably can't dance. My daughter says I can't dance anymore. I thought I could. I was a professional cheerleader. She says, don't ever dance in front of people again. But find what makes you passionate. That doesn't feel like work, but you can't stop there. It's a continuous growth. Just like your skill sets and what you guys are doing. I'm sure you debrief. What can we do better? How can we grow it? What type of people we want? It's the same thing. Never stop growing. And if you feel like it's stuck, don't quit. If it is, remember the first pageant? 111. K came in, Walk Like a Boy got fourth runner up. If it is something that you think you can use it, not to your advantage, but to help others, you will find a way. But you got to seek to find. You got to reach out. You got to find people that are successful, and you got to be humble. And people helped me along the way. Remember the walk I told you? I finally can flow. Ladies, I can flow. Thank you, Sabrina, for helping me with my flow.
Amen. I love it. I love it. I tell you, we could go on and on. I just have two more questions before we start to close out, because I tell you, this is some rich stuff, y'all. Okay. If you could go back and tell your younger self one thing, what would it be?
Don't let it be a mustard seed in the beginning. Know your relationship with the Heavenly Father and focus on building your foundation through the spiritual realm instead of the worldly realm, because the world will let you down. And I tell my girls, my Sunday school girls, when I teach them, when I traveled to Japan and China, because I don't know if you can see, I don't know what you guys see, but I'm brown. When you go to China and Japan, the beauty is very white. And I just won Mrs. Georgia. And, you know, I have a little click in my step going to Japan. I was invisible. Wow. Either you have to be black or super white. If you're brown, you're like, they have a pecking order. I was invisible. But I loved it. I loved it. That made me so excited. I went back and I told the girls this. You will never catch beauty. If you keep changing yourself to match what's popular, and it's like the wind, you'll never catch it. You go to different countries, beauty is different everywhere in the world. Some like the heavier girls, some like the girls with the gold thick braces on their neck. Be you. Learn to love you and be authentic and be grateful, but be your best version of you. Remember what I told you, you don't look to the right, you don't look to the left, because it will confuse you and you'll never be happy, because you'll never feel like you made it. You'll always feel like, and I have a girlfriend, I'm not going to say her name. She doesn't think she's beautiful and she never puts pictures of herself up. And girls, she is beautiful. She really is beautiful. And she's a nurse and she's a hospice nurse and fabulous. And someone trained her in her life. And she is my age, and she still hadn't got out of it. Don't waste your life chasing the wind. Love who you are exactly the way you are. You are authentically, uniquely made, and you are the daughter of the King. Nobody taught us that when we were that girl that you said, what would you tell yourself?
Mm-hmm.
We have been fed a lot of lies, and we've been, I chased it. I got my hair straight. My hair is really curly. I got, you know, there's a lot of things that I did to try to fit in, and it never worked. I remember the first time I got Botox, someone put it in my chin, or I was crooked for 6 months. Every time I do something that is not in the natural, it's always messed up. So don't do it. Be you and love you. Be accepted. And it's hard for women to accept themselves. I get it. But it's really a sad state to go through life chasing something that, if you travel around the world like I did, there's different definitions everywhere. Uh-huh. Be happy. Amen. You guys are amazing, beautiful.
Right. That's what you are about. Beautiful. And you are very beautiful.
It's Jesus. And I got to tell you something. I swear, my grandmother was 96 years old when she died. Her skin was fabulous. And then I was watching David Jeremiah. He's a preacher. And I just found out he's 81. And I looked at him and I said, wow, there's something to living a good life. The youth that we all look for is in our spiritual realm. Peace.
Amen.
Simple. You know, to be careful what you tell yourself, your mindset. Because I think stress and cortisone and worry and all the things that the world brings us makes us age.
Yeah.
So learn to get the fountain of youth through Jesus. And I really think if we live it right and follow the four things that I taught y'all, spiritual, mental, physical, financial, being simple, balanced, I think we'll stay a little younger. But thank you for that compliment. I owe it to my mama. Yeah. And my dad. My dad was cute.
Good stuff. In closing, are there any tools or apps or resources or books that you would recommend? I know you shared some along the way, but if there's anything additional you want to share, feel free.
Remember, whatever you focus on is real. So make sure you balance you got to understand, you got to do a self-assessment on yourself and you got to take off the mask. You know, and I always tell people, you know, I never sweat women because when we all take off the makeup and then we're all in our pajamas, we all look the same. We look the same. I said, so you got to take off the mask and you got to know who you are and where you hurt. And if it's something that's deeper than you can do by yourself, seek help. You're not alone. Don't get caught up in the world of illusion. Know yourself. Know what areas you need help on, whether it's physical, health and wellness. There's a lot of great trainers out there. Max, you were my trainer. Give you a high five. Jen Miller, high five. That can help you with physical health and wellness. Mental continuous growth. You can go on LinkedIn, Coursera. You can do a lot of YouTubes. Learn a new skill. Don't ever stop learning, right? Spiritual forgiveness. Get yourself in church. And get in a good group of, whether it's a Bible study with women or men, find the right people. And then financial. You got to pay off your debt. Stop buying stuff, close down things, live simple. Nobody cares. And I just had it, and I got to tell you, I just had someone that passed. She was giving all her stuff away. She worked her whole life. And that's when I knew, I said, we are brainwashed with stuff. You can't take it with you. Don't get caught up in it. And that's why I'm passionate about stuff. Because probably six years ago, I was a stuff girl. You learn as you age. And that's the beauty of wisdom as aging, to be receptive with what God wants you to refine and learn. And we go through a spiritual maturity. I'm still immature, trust me. That we grow. And want, you've got to want to grow in all aspects of your life. Got to want to be intentional and be intentional on what's important to you.
Amen.
Wow. Woo. So wow. Miss Nova, you have been such a joy on our show this morning. We wanted to give you an opportunity to maybe shout out a woman of noble character, someone that maybe has made an impact on your life or on your community. Do you have anyone you would like to shout out for noble character acknowledgement this morning?
I have a lot of women that I want to shout out to, but the two key women in my life that I got to say was my grandma, because she led me to the Lord. I can't forget her. On that farm, the humble, graceful sweetness. No, you know, gosh, if I could be like her, I would be super happy, because she was A+. And my mother, the survivor, the one that raised three children, that didn't give up, that taught me to love everyone equally, taught me what work ethic is, taught me that customer's king. Treat your customers how you want to be treated, treat your friends how you want to be treated, and be a good human being. And she possesses that. So shout out to those two women. I know you said uno, but I said do.
I love it. I love it. And then we cannot forget our black dress challenge, y'all. We are in the thick of it. I don't know how you're doing, Toy. I didn't hit some peaks and valleys. How are you doing with your black dress?
It's okay. I'm making progress. I have good weeks and weeks are not so good. But I'm staying consistent. I'm not giving up. I'm making healthier choices and trying to exercise, whether it's like a dance workout video at the house or going for a walk. I'm definitely trying to become a better version of myself.
Amen. Same here. Not giving up is the key, because sometimes I just get so discouraged and I'm like, this is never going to happen. And then it's like, okay, wait. just got to keep putting one foot in front of the other, regardless of how things look right now. Just keep going. So that's my encouragement. I'm encouraged by that. So go ahead.
I want to give you a tip about that. Write down goals in SMART, specific, measurable, attainable, you know, the SMART goals, realistic and timetable. You got to write them down, because throughout my life, I have written it down in those four key areas: physical health and wellness. And you got to think end in mind, you know, like for your birthday, I want to lose 3 pounds, get a little stronger. Be realistic and don't beat yourself up. But writing down your goals in all areas, I've been doing for the last 30 years, I have achieved everything that I have written. Remember Habuka 2:2. You look that up. We've got to have vision. We've got to dream big. Do not let the world or other distractions, because there's a lot of shiny stuff outside that distract us. One day at a time, do your best, write down your goals. You will achieve it.
That's good. Right now, make the vision plain. I love it.
Make the vision plain.
Well, speaking of Black Dress Challenge, you holding it together in a lot of ways, Nova. So can you help us? Can you give us a Black Dress Challenge for this week? We're trying to fit into that black dress that, you know, maybe hanging in the closet or online. We're trying to fit into it. So can you help us out this week?
So my challenge to you all listening, find the one area of opportunity you want to improve. One, write it down and start working towards it. Whether it's physical health and wellness, just walk, dance, do the things you used to do when you were young and you have fun. You know, if you like skating, bowling, it has to just be movement. Don't make it so hard. Mental, find something you want to learn. Spiritual, a friend that you haven't forgave, forgive them. Financial, pay yourself 10% in your next paycheck. Do the simple things, but find one thing that you've been talking about over and over and over, and you haven't done it.
That's good. Thank you so much.
My pleasure.
Well, thank you again for coming on our show this morning. We have learned so much from you. You have been such a joy this morning. Next week, we'll be focusing on women and their roles in family. And we just want to remind everyone to make sure to subscribe to our YouTube channel. Follow us on Facebook, Instagram, and Twitter at Becoming Eva Today. See you guys soon.
See you soon.
Bye. Thank you. I will be following you.